what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God. Now, are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a soul a slave. If you would just remain standing, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service. Ask God's blessing on the offering tonight. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Please remember all of our prayer requests and all of our announcements. I'm sure Pastor will hit on a couple of those again here in a few moments, but please remember everyone that just stands in need of prayer. I'm glad I've got a friend in Jesus. Amen. And he calls me friend. That's amazing that he would call me friend. But again, it's great to see you. Brother Don, would you take us, Lord, tonight in a word of prayer?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you once again, Lord. We come praising your holy name. We come with humble hearts, asking you to lead and guide, that wherever we go, whatever we do, we can take your word with us in your love, that others may come to know you and be part of your sin. We ask you to bless the offering tonight for the building of your kingdom, and touch each and every prayer request. For if you know the answer, we don't. Bless every person here and those that are on the internet watching. Lord,
page number 57, if you need it, let's sing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace. Amen. Sing this with me. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. That deserves a big old amen right there. Amen. I'm so thankful that the Lord loves me. And again, it's not hard to understand why we would love him. The amazing thing is that he would love us the way that he does. I want to try my best to sing an old song. Miss Catherine was playing it this morning, and I knew we was going to have a little bit of a different service tonight. But David is out sick, and most of the choirs either at home or traveling or whatever the case, and many of them been at the ballpark all afternoon, and I think Carter and them was about to pull the first one out, and then they got another one right back to back, and so just pray the Lord just keep everybody safe and bring everybody home safely this evening. But here's an old song that simply says this: what a day, a glorious day that's going to be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day.
Bible says in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Praise the Lord, one day there's going to be some no mores. And thank God that he's with us, Lord, to walk through this walk of life day in and day out. But one day our faith will end in sight. And man, I'm looking forward to that day. I pray that we all go up in the rapture together. I do not want any of us to go by the way of the grave. I pray that the rapture will take place, our calling away from this place to the next place, rather than going by the way of the cemetery. I actually like what Phil Robertson said, the father of Duck Commander. He said, the first birth gets you on the earth. The second birth gets you off the earth. And I hope everybody has experienced the second birth. And speaking of Phil Robertson and Duck Commander and Duck Dynasty, they have made a movie called The Blind. And when we were in Florida last week, on a Thursday night, we went and watched it. It's the testimony of how Phil Robertson came to the Lord and how Duck Commander came all about. And watch that movie. That's a good movie, a great one in my estimation. I do want to remind us, just for a few moments after service, of course, I'd like for someone to cut the camera off whenever we say the last amen, so that we can mention briefly, probably in 2 minutes, some things about the yard sale. That'll be great. Cover that briefly. Also, I'd like to say, next Saturday, if you see this parking lot overflowing, spilling out, I don't want anybody to panic. There's a skate park here that was planted there, from my understanding, by a group in California. And next Saturday is opening day. And so if you ride by and people are just slammed in here parking, you didn't miss a revival announcement, I assure you. But that's exactly what's taking place there. So remember that, if you would, for next Saturday. And I do want to mention just a couple people for prayer. Number one, Miss Darlene has had a foot issue, and she was here this morning. She's here tonight, and I hear that you're doing a little better on that. So we praise the Lord. Some of these things can come out of nowhere, as you know, with our physical mortal bodies. But so good that she's doing better on her road to recovery. So we'll continue to pray for you, David Barker as well, Chuck CC at the Palmers, and of course the list goes on and on, so remember that when you pray. And while we're at it, let's just mention just a brief rundown of things coming up. As we mentioned this morning, Youth Sunday on the 22nd, looking forward to that. Again, the church yard sale on the 21st, Saturday, trunk or treat on the 29th. This coming up Thursday, the fellowship hall will be the ladies' prayer brunch. Please attend that if you haven't already. You'll be blessed by doing so. And please pick up a bulletin so you can be reminded of what's going on here at the church. All right, Romans chapter number 12 this evening for a few moments. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Of course, there's always something I feel like I'm forgetting to say. We're not going to be chasing no rabbits right now. Romans chapter number 12. We're going to read verse number 11 in just a moment. Not long ago, probably a few Wednesday nights ago, I spoke on the subject of passion. In fact, the title was Passion Killers. And we mentioned some things that can kill our passion that we have for the Lord. And tonight I want to bring a similar subject to that one, but different. Has a different angle on it. And I want to talk tonight on this subject, being a passionate Christian. Being a passionate Christian. Let me say that there are too many Eeyore Christians, not enough Tigger Christians. So the question is, do people really, really, truly want what we have? Being a passionate Christian. Passion is gas in the car, which makes it go, makes us go. Passion is the power outlet we plug into. It gives us power. Passion is Jesus. We need Jesus and His involvement in our lives. He gives us passion to do certain things for His honor and for His glory. So are we a passionate Christian? The people we tell the gospel to, share the gospel to, speak about the Lord, do they want what we have? So tonight, just for a few moments, I want to mention some things about this subject of passion or being a passionate Christian. Number one, what is passion? What's passion all about? Well, the Webster's Dictionary of the word passion says this, it's a strong liking or desire for devotion, or I'm sorry, it's a strong liking or desire for or devotion to some activity, object, or concept. It's excited or easily excited to strong feeling. That's what Webster's Dictionary says that passion is. Simply put tonight, passion is the fire in your belly or bones. Jeremiah chapter number 20. Go ahead and turn there for just a moment. I had a stationery this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 20, and we're just going to mention it and go. So verse number 9, the Bible says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." So the Bible tells us here that passion is a fire that's in our bones or belly. You ever heard someone say, "Oh boy, oh girl, you've got fire in your belly. I can tell it. You've just got passion that is written all over your face. You're just a passionate person." So simply put, passion is fire in our belly or fire in our bones. Passion keeps us up at night. Passion keeps us moving during the day. You ever sat or you ever laid in the bed and tried to go to sleep at night and toss and turn because you had some desire to do something great for the Lord or just some goal you had in mind for yourself, some kind of idea, some aspiration, and you couldn't sleep? Just tossed and turned. That's how I am when God gives me my messages to preach. I toss and turn. I think about it. I get up and make corrections. I add. I take away. Then finally Sunday gets here and I'm able to release that which is shut up in my bones. Another word for passion that's used in the Bible is zeal. And zeal means a fervent devotion to a cause. It means enthusiasm or jealous even. It means earnest. Zeal and passion are related. So notice if you would here in Romans 12 and verse number 11. The Bible tells us to be fervent in spirit. Be zealous. Be passionate. That word fervent here, it also means hot. It means glow. So I guess the Bible is actually telling us to be a glow stick kind of Christian. He says in verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Be zealous in spirit, fervent in spirit, passionate, hot, glow in spirit. Be a glow stick kind of Christian where you stick out like a sore thumb. Do people want what we really have? The question is, are we glowing or are we not? So let us not be slothful or lazy, but hot in spirit. Let us be super in spirit. Let our passion for God keep us up at night. Keep us going during the day. What kind of passion do you have tonight? What's driving you? Like the old saying goes, what is it that makes you tick? What is it in your heart that keeps you going during the day? Is it God-oriented? Is it wholesome? Is it genuine? Is it helpful to others? Talking about passion tonight, being a passionate Christian, being a tigger kind of Christian, being a glow stick kind of Christian. Let me give you an illustration of passion. Passion is the pilot light in a furnace. A furnace has a small flame located in the combustion chamber. I believe we're all probably getting ready to use our furnaces sooner than later. Once it's lit by the igniter, its flame is used to ignite the natural gas being pumped into the main burner. This releases heat into your home. You can't see the flame, yet everybody in the house is warmed because of the flame and its place in the furnace. God tonight lights our flame at salvation so that we can warm the hearts of others. Is your flame lit tonight? Are you burning? And so that's the first question. What is passionate? If we're talking about being passionate. And so we mentioned those things. Now, the second question is three questions. Number two, why do many Christians lack passion? I want to give you three reasons why many of us lack passion. Number one, because some have never been lit by salvation. Their pilot light hasn't been lit and they're pumping gas, which is toxic, into lives all around them. They would like to warm the hearts of others, but they can't, at least not outside of human capability. They would like to walk in purpose, but they're not, meaning not God's purpose for their life that they are persuaded of. And so I'd have to say this evening that one reason why Christians lack passion, because they may not even be a Christian. Number two, why do many Christians lack passion? Another reason is because they have allowed precious things to become familiar things. Listen to me. Another reason for the lack of passion in the lives of many Christians is because they've allowed precious things to become familiar things, to become ordinary, everyday, common things. Listen to this. The married couple that was so excited and in love at the venue once upon a time has allowed the preciousness and absolute blessing of having each other go unattended, and now the relationship is familiar and routine. Can I say, no dates, no attempts, no fire. A relationship has to have these things. Attention. And so in like manner, in our Christian lives, if we're not careful, our passion and zeal for God can flicker. No fellowship with Him. No fire in our belly. No passion. So if there's no fire in your spiritual life, it's not so much that you have lost your first love as it is you have left your first love. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 for a moment. Revelation chapter 2 in verse number 4. speaking, Lord speaking to the church of Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Left. One day that jumped out to me. It never did say, it never said lost your first love. But it did say left your first love. Once you've met Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can never lose Him. You cannot lose your salvation. Other denominations, if you're watching, you can't lose your salvation because you didn't earn your salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His grace whereby He saved us. And so, if we are lacking passion in our spiritual life, it's number one, we're not saved, or we've allowed precious things to become familiar things. Our relationship with Him has a lack of fellowship. There's no fire there. There's no fellowship, no fire, no dates, no attempts, no fire. In order to receive that passion back into your life, we have to return to our first love. So it's not so much that we've lost our first love, but it's that we've left our first love if we're lacking passion. Someone said, well, Brother Justin, they didn't actually say this, I'm just saying for an example. Someone would say, Brother Justin, I just, you know, things are dead over there at Calvary. I'm not motivated. You know, I just wish this would happen there. I wish these kind of songs were sung there, and we're working toward that, let me just say. We're working toward that. But at the same time, what have you brought into God's house? Whoever you are, what have you brought? Are you plugged into Him? Is there fire in your relationship with God? Is there fire in your belly? How can you change the service so that people can get blessed? What's your involvement in it? A lot of times, now sometimes it's true, there are churches out there where it's just hard. It's hard to get anything, to go, to be a part of the worship service. Listen, we're blessed here at Calvary. We are blessed. I've been to churches before. Listen, the Lord had us at a certain church, the first church in our ministry, and there wasn't a choir director. There wasn't a pianist. There was like 10 people in the pews. There were so many things that needed to be updated with the church, and we were off the map, you know, over in, off the Thornton Road, off Thornton Road over there, back at Factory Shoals Road. And so walking in on a scene like that, I mean, listen, cold, hard. And so there are places like that, they're out there, and I'm not saying that church is that way today, but what I'm saying is we are blessed here. Yeah, we may have some areas we need to work on and move forward in. I've never seen a church or heard of a church that never had to labor for what they may want or where they're at. But talking about lacking passion here, lacking passion, return to your first love. Not that we have lost our first love, it's that we've left our first love in many cases. There's a third reason why many Christians lack passion, not just because some have never been lit by salvation, and not just because some have allowed precious things to become familiar things, but another reason many Christians lack passion is because of wanting approval from others. Listen to this. We all want to be loved, we all want to be needed, and we all want to be accepted, don't we? Passion draws some, but passion also repels some. You and your passion, some may be on board and like, yeah, 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 let's do that. Others may be like, you got a bad idea. And so many times some Christians don't even try to do anything because They're searching and looking and hoping for the approval of others. Well, if so-and-so thinks it's a great idea, then I'm going to do it. But if they don't, I'm not. Away with that. If God has told you to do something and you're passionate about it, I don't care who's against it. I don't care the accolades they have, how long they've been in ministry. I don't care how many degrees are behind their name. I don't care. If God has told you to do something and you're passionate about doing it, do it. Do it. Remember when Philip was preaching? Revival was taking place. God told Philip to leave because there's a eunuch over there in the desert place. That was the main part of the story, the reason why he wanted them to go, and he needed someone to help him understand the Bible. Now, I'm sure there must have been some, I haven't seen it in the scriptures, but there must have been some, Philip, why are you leaving? Man, God's blessing here. God's blessing here. Well, I got to go. The Lord spoke to me. I got to go. And so we see that sometimes in life, people do not always approve. Let me get beyond the approval of others. We all want to be loved and needed and accepted. But when it comes to passion, sometimes passion is a lonely walk because it's fire burning in your belly and nobody may be excited about it but you. Don't let the negative people put your fire out. Don't let it. Passion draws some, but it also repels others. So why do many Christians lack passion? Because of approval from others. Let me mention something else. Not only that, but how to restore your passion. We're here in Revelation chapter 2. Four words to restore your passion. And it's found in verse number 4 and 5. If you're lacking passion tonight, if there's no steam in your boat, there's no wind in your sail, this is how you get your passion back. In verse number 4, the word recognize. Recognize your position. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Verse number 1 through 3, he mentions all these things that they're doing. They're working, they're laboring. They even have patience. They can't bear them that are evil, doing all these things. But at the same time, they've drifted from their love, their power source. They've drifted from it. They become unplugged. And so he says, recognize your position. You have left. The first step toward being revitalized, to being energized and having your fire lit again is that we must recognize that we're cold. Recognize we're indifferent. But not only recognize, this is the first word I use, but in verse number 5, remember. He says in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art falling. Remember therefore from whence thou art falling. I said four words, I meant five. We'll mention the third in just a moment. That's the second. Remember where you went wrong. Many times in our life we can, if we become cold and indifferent and things don't move us spiritually anymore, a lot of times we could trace it back to an event, a day, a time where we put life on autopilot. Many times we can go back to a place like that. And so he says, remember, therefore from which thou art falling. The third word is repent. First word, recognize. Second word, remember. Third word, repent. He says, and repent. Do an about face. You're going this way and you're trucking along through life and you're cold, you're running on fumes, nothing moves you anymore. You're even thinking about just not attending church anymore. Just, you don't see the importance anymore. The Bible says repent. In other words, remember where you fell and repent. Dear God, please forgive me. I'm indifferent to the things of God. I've allowed circumstances, my flesh. I've allowed the devil to work in my mind, and I'm just indifferent, but I don't want to be indifferent. I want the fire of salvation to burn in my heart once again, Lord. Repent. Which means an about face. Which means a change of mind. He's saying, return to your first love. Remember what happened and repent. Repentance, I believe, in my estimation, is one of the least things that believers do. I love what Bill Stafford said when he was alive. He said that he stays repented up to date. Every day, every time a thought comes, an urge that is opposite of God in the Bible, we ought to repent of. Stay clean, stay close. And the closer and the cleaner we are to the Lord, the brighter the fire will burn. So there's the word repent, the third word. The fourth word is repeat. And do the first works. Those that are married, you, I want to ask you to go down memory lane for a moment with me. You remember when you met your love? You remember how giddy and excited? I remember when me and Christy first met. She said she knew I was the one right when I walked in the door. How about that? That's wonderful. She can tell you I had on yellow dress shirt and dress pants. And I felt the same way, but it was something about day three that got me. I mean, I knew. We go walking on the Silver Comet Trail and over in Austell and talk. And, oh, I remember, do I hold her hand or do I not hold her hand? I remember one day riding home from church from Floyd Road, and we were dating. I'd pick her up in the morning, take her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. One day we just got married. But I'll see, I had my arm on the handrest, and I was making my way. I had my pinky crawling across like this. I'd go back. I was so nervous. Y'all remember that? And then out of nowhere, she grabbed my hand. I was like, phew. Oh, thank God. She made the first move. You know? But I remember those feelings. Used to work at Florida Irrigation over in Marietta, and we'd talk every day on our lunch break, 12 o'clock. The whole time I worked at that place, here's what I ate for lunch every day. One can of tuna, one pack of crackers, and a Diet Coke. That was back when I was trying to lose weight even then. So I'd finish that up, and then she'd call, hey, what are you doing? Well, you know what I'm doing. I'm working. What are you doing? I'm working. And so just giddy, I forgot what my name was. Speeding home to change, to go to her place for a little while, and, you know, all those feelings and emotions. And then one day she said, Justin, I'm afraid that I can't see you this weekend. And I just paused. I didn't know what to say. I thought it was over. She said, I'm going to a woman of faith meeting. Going to this big women of faith conference. And what's that lady's name? Beth. What is it? Beth Moore, I think. She may have an involvement. I think she does. She did. And she said, I'm going to be gone for 3 days. I said, 3 days? What are you talking about, 3 days? What am I going to do for 3 days? I'll go ahead and admit it tonight. I cried a little bit. I was in love. Infatuated. Just blown away that she even gave me a chance. And then about 10 months into the relationship, I said, well, and of course it was after a Sunday night, getting ready to go home, back to my grandmother's, leaving her place. Said, this is a lot of work, you know. Why don't we just get married? She said, okay. I said, when you want to get married? And somehow we came up with January 29th. And so January 29th, we dated for 10 months. January 29th rolled around. It was about a foot of snow. And Brother Berman said, son, it's bad weather. You know, we can reschedule this thing if you want to. I said, no, I've got to get married. And we got married. And going on 20 years later. And I'll say that I loved her in the beginning, infatuated, however you want to say it. I just didn't even know my name. That love then is different from this love now. This love now has been tried. This love now has been through some things. She has proved herself, and I like to think I've proved myself. She has invested in me, and I've invested in her. We have been through some things. It's not just giddy love and not just, you know, infatuation, but this is true, real love. But saying that, being married, going on our 20 years soon, there are times where we have to return to those things. We've got to stir around the not ashes. Our marriage ain't ashes. We've got to, like a fire that's been down to ashes that once burned, you got to stir those embers up. Anybody married in here that's never had to go on an intentional date night? Huh? Listen, no, what is it that we said a moment ago? We said, no dates, no attempts, no fire. Well, the Lord tells us here, do your first works. Remember when you first got saved and how glorious it was? Oh, when I first got saved, I couldn't stop shouting. And then I got to the place through time where I started worrying about what people think. And then I got over that and just didn't care anymore. And I've been there ever since. Because the love of the Lord in my life, it moves me to worship. But there's been times along my spiritual journey where I've had to stir the embers. I've had to return to those first works when I first got saved. I mean, I was storming Quick Trip just to target the Jehovah's Witnesses. I had tracks falling out of my pockets. I mean, I was ready to just hem them up at the Coke machine and tell them what's what. They try to tell me there's Trinity ain't real and God's not the Holy Ghost and God's not Jesus. I said, I beg to differ, mister. He is. I almost got angry. Used to work out with a guy that was a Jehovah's Witness when I first got saved. And it was dangerous trying to witness to somebody like that with iron all around you. And so we went back and forth. He goes, here, would you please read this? It's a watchtower. You read this, I'll leave you alone. I said, all right, I'll read it. And I read it and threw it away. He said, what'd you think? I said, it's all a lie. I just didn't care. And I told him my beliefs and what the Bible says. And he did say this, not saying anything great about me, just telling you my experience. He walked away and said, for a Christian that's of the Baptist denomination, I've never met one like you. I said, thank you. But through time, I've gotten away from that. And I have to be intentional to do those things again. They don't come as easy as they used to. Because of the time when I first met the Lord to now, I believe this year's 21st year of salvation. And so I have to return to my first works and do those first things and remember and rekindle that the Lord, I don't ever want to, like Peter talks about, forget the price that was paid for me. And forget that I was purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And forget that I'm not going to hell and I'm going to heaven. I don't ever want to forget those things. I think sometimes we forget, don't we? That fifth word is radiate. Look in verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And we know he's talking to the church of Ephesus, but I believe on an independent personal level also, there's some principle here. That God wants us to let our light shine. And I want my light to shine. I know you want your light to shine as well. And we ain't got time to get into all of the disciplinarian acts for someone who stays away from the Lord. But he can remove us if he wants to. There is a sin unto death. There are closures of local churches who do not operate and operate out of love and keep the Lord first and all those things. The Bible says so here. He'll remove your candlestick. He'll remove your influence. He'll remove your I guess for lack of better words, just your influence on others. He can put us on the shelf if he wants to. And so he tells us to radiate. Let our light shine. Let our light shine. Or else he'll remove a candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this. I'll give you this, and then we will bring it to a close. 2 Timothy 1:6, I'll just give it to you. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The word stir up there means to rekindle. And there's that fire again. It's like the fire that once burned, and now there's ashes there. You stir those ashes around to create a flame. And so Paul tells Timothy that there are times where you gotta stir yourself up. You gotta get that fire burning again. In closing, let me say this. John Wesley was once asked, "What's the secret to your ministry?" He replied, "I ask God to set me on fire and let people watch me burn." How about that? That's what John Wesley said. I wonder tonight, I guess maybe we'll have a little instrumental invitation. I wonder tonight if there's anybody here whose fire is dwindled down and maybe it's flickering. Maybe your fire is burning bright and there's some people on your heart that you want to pray for, that you want to see get saved or come back to Jesus. Whatever the case is, whatever the situation might be, that's the message tonight, being a passionate Christian. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for all things. I pray that something was said, digested, that was helpful to someone here tonight, maybe even someone watching on Facebook, just talking about being passionate, keep the fire burning, being used of you, letting our light shine. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, and if someone needs to come, the altars are open. And I just want to have a brief word with you right after service. Feel free to come if you need to come. Anyone tonight? You may be seated. Just a couple minutes, that's all I need. If you have to go, that's fine. Just wanted to share, again, about the church yard sale, just a couple things. I didn't want to say right off the bat here, thank you, in the beginning, we do ask